This show is only made possible because of donations. And you can donate as little as you want, but one thing people don't talk about, you can donate as much as you want to.
Hey.
As much as you want, go to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Ensure that this show continues by giving us as much as you want.
You
want
to do a million? You can do it! You can do it! We won't stop you!
Let it out.
Let it out. And then Leonard Cohen last night.
I know, right? 2016 just wants...
And then Leonard Cohen. What does it want, 2016? How much blood?
A lot.
How much blood? How many tears, 2016, do you need before you're sated?
All the tears.
Last night I tweeted that I think 2016 is maybe actually a physical monster at the center of the earth. And if we don't destroy it with magic, it will always be 2016.
Oh, no.
Like, it's going to be 2016 forever. I feel this way sometimes.
It literally stole Hallelujah from us. Like, it stole the joy of the song Hallelujah.
Actually, not to put anybody on blast, but let's just say someone I'm married to.
Could be anybody.
Could be anyone I'm married to. Last night... I go, oh my God, Leonard Cohen died. And she's like, I'm sorry, I don't know who Leonard Cohen is. I'm like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, you would know him, you'd know him from Hallelujah. And she's like, oh, you mean the Jeff Buckley song? And I was like, son of a bitch, bastard, motherfucker. I mean the Rufus Wainwright song. No, I mean the song that everybody at the fucking coffee shop does. No, I mean the song that every kid on YouTube with a fucking ukulele does. That Hallelujah. That's the one I mean. Not the actual one. That's the one I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Buckley does a great version of it.
Great version.
No one's going to argue that.
Maybe, I mean, listen, it's probably the most known version.
Probably. Yeah.
Although as the younger kids get older, I think it will be the Rufus Wainwright version.
Yeah.
But that's the way songs go. But that's not what this is about. This is about everything just piled up and piled up and piled up over the last few weeks. All the stress and the negativity and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And I was actually okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have this weird thing because my grandparents, as I've mentioned before, were Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And that has sort of informed the emotional reactions of the last couple generations of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we work is this. I can rail about little stuff. I can fly off the handle. I can get angry. I can get sad.
Doesn't sound like you.
About little things. Mm-hmm. Big things don't really fuck with me because big things are huge.
Hmm.
They're too big. You can't do anything about them. Hmm. They're done, right? And so for me, it's like, okay, now the thing that I have to do is figure out the best way to move forward, the most effective way to move forward, and how to navigate this big thing that I cannot change.
Okay.
That's all you can do. I can scream for 15 minutes at a guy who cuts me off on the highway.
Right.
Because fuck that guy. It's just one guy. Fuck that guy.
Right. But, small and manageable.
But if the world is moving in a direction that's bad, I don't get upset as much as I just get like, okay, how do we best take care of this?
Right.
But it all piled up. And fucking Leonard Cohen dies.
Mm.
And that little thing put me over the edge last night.
Mm.
That's when I got depressed.
Mm.
Like, that's when I literally just, like, laid down on the floor for 45 minutes. And I was like, fuck, what is going on?
Yeah.
What is even going on? What else do we have to lose this year?
I mean, that's what happened to me when Prince died, you know? That
yeah.
Same kind of thing.
I mean, and, like, but that's the thing. Like, Bowie died earlier this year, too.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely a much bigger fan of Bowie, but I'm just like in a worse emotional state right now.
Yeah.
Plus, Bowie died already.
Right. Yeah, that's what I kept thinking.
And like, Bowie and Prince?
I don't even get Prince music, and I have to live in this America. it's rough.
And
man.
I mean, look, like, my biggest takeaway from this whole thing is like, as somebody who was a science communicator and a science reporter for so long, we are moving into a four-year period where it's going to be very hard to have the sort of progress that we've had in science, in things like climate change, in things like alternative energy, in everything. Bleak. It's very...
I heard Ben Carson for Secretary of Education.
Yeah.
Which is...
Ben Carson, who thinks truth serum is literally real.
Yeah. Ben Carson, a doctor, yeah, so you assume he has education, but he thinks that the Bible is literal.
Well, this guy...
Literally true.
The guy that they elected to the head of the EPA, or the guy that Trump wants to be the head of the EPA transition, is a gentleman who is one of the most vocal sort of policy wonk, anti-climate change sort of dudes, right? He's a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's being put into place right now that that falls against the things that were real progress, I think, over that. But my biggest takeaway from all this is, you can only ignore rising tensions for so long, and you can only combat rising tensions with smug superiority and a general feeling that they work themselves out for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest takeaway. Is,
yeah, I hope people take that away.
Because I do lean liberal. I do lean left.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do great this election cycle. We did not do great.
Do you think I had a theory that, you know, if the world has to stay in balance, do you think that Scalia dying was so much imbalance that all this other shit had to happen?
Well,
like, he is so, such a loss for that side.
Yeah.
He has such a point of intense right wing.
There is always a period of reaction. To take like what you're saying and put it into like some actual like concrete like terms, like there is always reaction and rebounding from periods of reconstruction.
Equal and opposite.
Right? So this is what happens. Anytime there is too much progress in one direction, there is a reaction from the other direction because their stresses build up.
Right.
And so you know, you look at after the Civil War, you look at Reformation in the South,
right?
And how the South basically was like, no, fuck off,
right?
Take your shit and get out of here. We'll rebuild on our own. Get the fuck out. You know, there is this thing where it's like,
yeah, but the thing that bothers me so much about all of this is that was happening at the same time that there was this incredibly smug complacency on the left, that said, I don't need to show up.
We don't need to notice that this is happening.
Yeah, I don't need. You know what? If I can't have Bernie, then fuck you guys.
You mean in terms of that?
Well, the whole maybe like, there's a smug complacency of just assuming that progress is going to continue.
Yes.
And assuming we're fine. And you know what? Honestly, I know I'm a white male saying all this, but women, I had many conversations with my wife asking, like, why don't women rally around the first woman president? And she kept saying, all of us kind of felt like it's a foregone conclusion that a woman's going to be president. It's not an accomplishment. It's not a moment of equality or, you know, it's just how the world works now. We are going to be in the conversation.
Well, and I think, like, To look at Barack Obama and be like, well, are we all just, was everybody rallying around the first black president? It's like, yeah, to an extent, but it was also a guy whose policies and ideals were really matching with a huge portion of the voter base that didn't really get hyped up,
right?
Never really had gotten hyped up,
right?
And his ideas spoke. So you know what I mean? It's a mix of the two things,
right?
Like, yeah, like I voted for Hillary. I wanted the first woman president. I did. But there were things about her that we were just ignoring. Mm-hmm. That we thought And it's this complacency that you're talking about, where it's like, for the last 20 years, the left has said, like, suck it up, globalization is a thing, mm-hmm. right? And when you say that to people who live, like, people who, like in my family, who live in Louisiana, who live in Ohio,
right.
you know, who live in Michigan, like, places like that, and you say, suck it up, globalization is a thing, there's no way around it, those people then go, okay, but what do I do? Like, what do I do when the factories closed, when the businesses right. are closed?
Right.
You keep telling me globalization is a thing and I have to deal with it, but like, fuck you, this is not dealing with it.
Right.
And dealing, they have no tools I have to keep the lights on.
No one's providing them tools to deal with it.
No one is doing it. Right. We can say, like, we're gonna refactor these factories into building, like, clean energy and retrain these people into doing this stuff. But then those programs never came.
Right.
Right? Those programs never came, and those were supposed to be democratic initiatives. And then to top that off, you do have this thing that came out of the Southern strategy, which is this money ball that the GOP plays with single issue voters, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The left is always much more about holistic ideology.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the GOP has gotten very good at speaking to single issue voters, which is why sometimes the GOP platform feels very all over the place and non-cohesive, is because in a lot of ways their candidates aren't speaking to something that's cohesive as much as they're speaking to, okay, you want no abortion, good. Okay, you want no free trade, good. Like, they're speaking, okay, but you want right. like this and this and this. And so they speak to these particular people who are known to be single issue voters. If you are an evangelical in the Southeast, you for sure vote for the pro-life candidate.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. From your point of view, there's nothing else you can do other right. than vote from the pro-life candidate. Is that dumb?
Right.
I mean, yeah, from our perspective, that's dumb. From the perspective of you and me.
Right.
The problem is not whether that's dumb or not. The problem is why wasn't the left speaking better to those people and trying to make them understand all the other better things that are happening, or
well, that's
how
been
this
the
isn't
problem.
Like
people vote against their own economic interests all the time
yeah.
because they're that there's a barrier to that communication. For some reason, trying to tell people, hey, you know, the party that actually wants to improve the education system for you, wants to raise your minimum wage, wants to make, like, legitimately has mm-hmm. your interests at heart, for some reason that is doesn't come through.
Yeah.
That doesn't break past that barrier.
Well, there's
I think the single issue, if you're talking about single issue voters, I think there are probably a lot that vote pro-choice no matter what, or excuse me, pro-life no matter what. But I think the single issue is fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the left, and specifically people on the coasts, who are really in the places that should be afraid, like the places that are actually targeted in attacks, are the people that I think are the least concerned about it in a large sense. We don't get how scared the rest of the country
yes.
is.
There's and a hierarchy of needs thing going on,
yeah.
right? We, you and I, and a lot of the people that we know, live in larger and more affluent urban areas where we make enough money to keep the lights on, maybe put a little bit of money away so you can have your first kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's taken care of. And so that, because that's taken care of, we have time and the emotional stability to think about more abstract issues. But when I was growing up, we didn't answer the phone because it was a bill collector. We were not allowed to answer the phone.
Yeah.
The one bill we paid on time was caller ID. So we knew when a bill collector was calling.
Yeah.
Half the time I would come home and my electricity was off and I would have to call the electric company and barter for another few days of electricity when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
Like, my family in Louisiana, everything they had was wiped out by the hurricane and they're trying to rebuild. My family in Cleveland, they're just watching the job market disappear. There are no jobs.
Right.
So you can raise the minimum wage as much as you want. Nobody's working.
Right.
That's not a real thing. So for those people, it's like when you say, like, well, these people need to need to think more long term and think more global and do all this stuff. It's like, motherfucker, the schools are closing down and I can't drink the water.
Yeah.
Eat a dick. Right. Now, I'm not saying there aren't a lot of people that rallied around Trump because just like speaking to single issue voters, there was a lot of dog whistling and winking at some very nasty groups of people.
Completely.
But the problem is not the people that voted for a third party candidate. The problem is not the people that were complacent, because, man, it's hard not to be complacent. Because these two parties are like fucking, the two party system is fucked. The problem is like, hey, we didn't put somebody up who was speaking to those people. We didn't put somebody up who,
I don't know about that, dude. I don't know about that. The creation of who she is, I don't think has much to do with the truth of who she is.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. But honestly, like, there is no doubt to me that from a policy perspective, she would speak to those concerns. She literally would. Now, this idea of who she was, that she's corrupt and that she's in the pocket of big business and all that stuff, that narrative plays against that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at her actual platform of what she was planning to do.
Yeah. But people were saying from go, they weren't going to look at it. And like, that's the thing is like, if on the opposite side, like, this is the thing you've got to ask yourself. If on the opposite side, the Republicans put up somebody who clearly was getting help from inside the GOP, was like, this is who it's going to be. We've decided. And then the head of the GOP had to step down.
Right.
The head of the RNC had to step down.
Right.
Because it was proven that they were pushing for one person.
Yeah.
And then that RNC head was hired by the candidate that person was clearly pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
We would have gone like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How are they allowed to do that? What the shit?
But there was a whole lot of things that we said, what the fuck? How are they allowed to do that?
Yeah. But I mean,
it
that's...
It doesn't matter.
But I mean,
no,
that's
I agree
the thing.
With you. No,
like,
you're not wrong that is...
She was just not the... She was not the candidate that was going to win.
I don't think Bernie would have won.
I don't know if he would have either. I think that's the other thing is like, I don't know if there is a candidate that would have won, but I voted for Obama twice and I was excited to vote for Obama.
Yeah.
I voted for Kerry specifically just to try to keep Bush out of, you know what I mean?
Right.
And this felt not as bad as a Kerry situation to me, but this did feel similarly. Like, there was a lot of us, and I mean, you and I had discussions like this too, where it was like, I'm not excited. Like, I'm not excited.
But why, like, do you have to be fucking excited? Like, I don't know. There's a bit of a popularity contest-ness to it that I find distasteful in the, like, here's this fun TV personality that makes me laugh. And I, even on the left, we're like, look at this clown. Look at how much joy we have. And MSNBC plays every speech he's ever done and in its entirety. And, you know, all of that reality TV-ness.
Yeah.
Is, well, true.
Well, that's a huge, I mean, that's another huge factor, right? Like, there are things that are working. I think there are two big things that are working against us in a long term, not just this time, but over the next 20, 30 years are working against us hugely, like in a really bad way. Like,
bigly.
Bigly. The last time, who was the last third party candidate to be president? Was it Roosevelt? Was it Teddy fucking Roosevelt? Like, the last time somebody like a third party candidate got a decent chunk of the vote was Perot. He got over 11%.
Yeah.
We have broken this thing into such a two-party system where it's like people feel forced into choice. So we have this system that's breaking down via the Electoral College, via delegates, via two-party system. Yeah. And then we have media changing in a way that it has not changed since the advent of television, right? There were two big things going on this election. You and I are on social media all the time. You're probably on Facebook a lot. I grew up in Florida. I have family in Louisiana, Alabama, like every. I should have seen more pro-Trump stuff. I didn't.
Hmm.
We are being served by the algorithm.
Right.
Television.
You know, it's a bifurcated country.
Yeah, is a giant is this giant lumbering many tentacled beast that is in the throes of death. So what do they need? They need a horse race.
Of course.
They need a horse race.
Right.
So
drama.
So any little drama, so like you're saying about Clinton, any little drama about Clinton, and some of the dramas about Clinton are not little.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think Trump is so bad that we see Trump as so bad that we are minimizing things as just being like career and politics that are like, dude, this is kind of shady. It's kind of shady. So television needs to amplify those things because they need you to keep watching.
Yeah.
Right? Why do they keep covering Trump? Why do they keep making a big deal of this Hillary stuff? Because it's fucking interesting. Well, that's why. And I'm hoping,
yeah, I guess.
I don't think big media is going to change. I don't think television media is going to change. I'm hoping what changes is more people really look to cite their sources in their own life and really look for alternate media outlets in their own life.
Maybe. I fear it's the other direction. I fear that this is the beginning of true celebrity culture in politics, that this is...
I mean, but they said that about Reagan.
You could argue that Obama was the rock star candidate. You could argue that he was the celebrity candidate compared to McCain and Romney.
Right.
You could argue that since Reagan, you know, W was the fun, freewheeling, fun-loving guy I want to have a beer with.
Sure.
Like, that it's true that really did begin, you know, the march toward just who's the guy I like. And we just don't like Hillary as a country. We just don't like her. And I don't think that's entirely her fault. I don't think it's entirely not her fault.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's entirely her fault. And it fucking sucks. But ultimately for me, this comes down to one thing. And it's a lot of things, but it's the biggest thing is people did not show up.
Nope.
And that is the most galling aspect of it.
Yeah. Well,
because Trump got the same amount of votes as Romney did.
Yeah.
It's just the other side just didn't show up.
Yeah. And but that's what I'm saying is like, we need to look at why the other side, we need to look at why they didn't show up.
Yeah. No, and a lot of it has to do with the candidate. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
But a lot of it has to do with this weird smug complacency thing where it's like, we just assume progress is marching forward and gays are getting rights and, you know, transgender is getting rights. And all the rights are just, they're just flowing from a well, and it's a nonstop, and it's just the flow of progress. And we don't have to do anything. Well, guess what? You're going to see that all marched back. You're going to see an entire 8 years of a presidency get completely erased. And what do we do then? You know, it's going to be a really terrible time, I think, for people that care about progressive values.
It takes three times longer to clean a room than it does to make it a mess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you let the dishes pile up for a day, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it gets hard. And I think I'm not going to mince words, and I don't want anybody listening to think because I'm playing devil's advocate or trying to see all the little facets of this thing that I don't think that this guy is a bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah.
Because I do. Well, where I stand is this guy is a bad fucking idea.
Right. Well, let me also state for the record, I know it's the end of the episode rather than the beginning of it, which probably should have started here, but my position is this. If you voted for Trump, you're not my enemy. I think that he and everything he stands for, I stand opposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't believe that not my president is a useful... And I don't think that's particularly patriotic, and I don't think it's particularly useful. He won fair and square.
Yeah.
Right. Part of the biggest things that I objected to in his campaign was the idea that he would somehow reject the results of the election if he lost. I will not do that. I will not stoop to that place. He won. We have to move forward. He is my president. I find him distasteful and everything he stands for distasteful. But I will not root against him. I want the country to do well. I am a patriot. I do believe in the goodwill of my fellow man. And I hope beyond hope that good comes of this somehow, but it's going to be hard.
I think for me, this the silver lining of this thing is, and you're right, the protest, we should continue to protest any decisions he makes that are poor.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I do not like this guy that he is making the transitional head of the EPA.
Oh,
I do not.
His entire team is
terrifying. Not like the person that he is helping. The guy from Arizona that he just appointed to like help transition. That was the guy that created the Papers, Please law in Arizona, basically. Yeah. You know, like he is putting.
Thiel supposedly is going to be on the transition team.
There's a lot of stuff
Bannon
going on.
Might be chief of staff.
These are decisions that we can protest.
Yeah.
These are concrete things that we can protest. You know, when I started this thing out in the beginning and I was like, it's too big.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything about this because it's too big. These are the small things that we can protest, that we can take action against, that we can disagree with. He won.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And you can be like, well, he only won because of the Electoral College. Cool. Great. So now, instead of being like, get rid of him, he's not the president, he only won because of the Electoral College. Now what we need to do is go, well, what's the process that we need to take as a population,
right,
to reform the Electoral College? Is that possible? Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, these are the things. To go out and be like, fuck Trump, this fucking, fuck whatever, fuck. Cool, be angry if that's where your motivation comes from. I understand motivation from anger. That's half of what I am. Anger, sadness, sometimes a little hungry. But like, find the concrete ways to put that energy into something. Figure out what it is, just like we were asking, like, hey, we need to figure out what is the core that made these people angry, that made them vote this way, or made them do this thing that seems to be against their own interest. Just like we are asking to find that out about other people, we need to find that out about ourselves. We need to be like, okay, why am I angry?
Right.
What is the process that I can take? How can I help? How can I change things?
Yeah. I just don't think belligerent rage is productive. And I think that it's what got us into this place in the first place. If, you know, so many people on Twitter have responded to me by saying, you know, all these people are afraid. You know, there's a large portion of people that are afraid and you don't understand the people that are afraid and legit. You know what? I get it. I get people are afraid. But guess what? That's how we got here. Mm-hmm. That's, we have to transcend that. And it's easy for me as a white male of privilege to say that. But the truth is, like, you know, reacting to hate with hate is not going to work. It's not going to be productive. It's not going to be helpful. And I don't know. I know that this is a tough time and it's raw and it's happening in real time and we're all feeling hurt, that those of us that are scared about our country, but more hate isn't going to help.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like the burning of Trump in effigy and all that stuff, I just don't think that helps.
I think one of the important things to remember is, like, and this is, once again, like you're saying, this is very easy to say. Somebody who has grown up their whole life in a specifically small area, surrounded by the same people, to tell them that they should vote for a free trade candidate when they've seen free trade destroy their town.
Yeah.
Because this is also a candidate that is for civil rights for specific people. It's like asking me to vote on whether Mandalorians should be able to get married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's an abstract concept.
I do believe that Mandalorians should be allowed to
get
married.
Mandalorians should be able to get married. It doesn't matter.
And
it's like,
or out of armor.
Yeah.
What their decision.
Listen, whatever Mandalorian wants to do. Okay? But you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. It's like, it's voting, hey, man, should we start letting Klingons on the bridge? It's like, I don't know, dude. Klingons seem super bad. It's like, yeah, but you've never met a Klingon, dude.
Right. Some like, of them are Worf.
Yeah, Worf. Think about Worf, guys. But that's what I'm saying is, like, you vote for the things that you find concrete. You don't vote for the things that you find abstract.
Yeah.
The more experience you have with different kinds of people in different kinds of situations, obviously the more things you find concrete.
Yeah.
The trick is to find a way to make abstract issues concrete for more people and to make more people care about abstract issues.
And you've really hit on, I think, the most problematic thing is that we as a people are moving away from one another.
Mm-hmm.
We are geographically becoming less diverse and grouping together ideologically mm-hmm. into places. And
both
all...
in real life and online.
Yeah.
We find algorithms. The algorithms yeah. help us find other people like us.
Yeah. And then we move to the coasts where there's people who all feel, we can all smugly feel awesome about how progressive we are because we live in San Francisco or Los Angeles mm-hmm. or New York City or whatever. And the people in the middle are like, we feel the same way about all the people around us because they're all like us. And then you have these big swaths of country that don't understand one another.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's tricky, man. It's tricky. And it's like, it has not ended well, I don't think, for anyone.
No, it's bad. It's going to be real bad.
And the trick is keeping our eye on the prize and looking at the bigger picture and figuring out the ways that we can change these things. And the concrete small things that we can do in our lives to help shape the larger things that need to get changed and need to get back on track. Wow.
We hope this was a little cathartic. We kind of needed to talk about it, and I know it probably offended a whole bunch of people that probably aren't even listening at this point.
We didn't even expect to do this as a regular episode.
Yeah, it just sort of happened.
It sort of happens. We didn't even do the opening. You know how we normally do the zany opening? I think this was going to be the zany opening for a regular episode.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Hey, wow. We need to make some decisions about whether we're releasing this or not.
I think we should.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Then we'll do it. We'll do it. Boy. This is normally where I say, let us know how you feel on Twitter.
You already are.
But you already are. But, you know, always remember, we have concerns.reddit.com if you want to speak to other people that listen to the show. We normally put that out there as a place to submit stories for the show, but it is a place for everyone to hang out. And if you want to go and discuss things and chat, that's a good place to do it.
Good people.
We are on Twitter. I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And
we'll make it.
Don't rate this episode.